us, that's all. Something my granddaddy used to tell us. When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Welcome to Zombie World. It's a new weekly exploration of everything about zombies. I mean, you know, the movies, the books, the TV shows.
The costumes, games, toys, t-shirt, all of it.
From the classics to new releases to underappreciated gems and the pieces of crap you should avoid, we're going to talk about everything we can think of about zombies every damn week. I'm Brad Munson.
And I'm Shay Sims.
And we have known each other for about 1,000 years now, I think.
Pretty close.
Doing all sorts of things. And we decided, since we always end up talking about horror in general and zombies in particular, that we would do this thing. I've been writing about zombies both in books and about zombies for many years, all over the place. Shay is an expert shopper who can find and buy anything.
Yes.
So every week, we're going to have a nice little section here called Mall of the Living Dead, which is really cool things from, well, you tell. What kind of stuff can you get in the mall?
Oh, you can get everything. Clothes, games, books, movies, cute little trinkets for your house, pillows, everything.
Pillows, that's right. And we'll be doing some of those in today's mall, too. That's crazy.
It's the first thing I bought was a pillow, so I guess it's what came to mind. Remember the Negan pillow? That's the first thing I bought.
I know. And then the second thing you bought, you made your son wear, who's out terrorizing people wearing it. So we'll talk about that too.
Yes.
Anyway, I hear one of the many dogs that we own in the background. How's everything at your place?
That would be my dog. And it's good. It's good. Muddy, hush. Sorry.
It has been insane here. I am in Southern California. Shay is in, what'd you call it, North Texas? Baja, Oklahoma?
We technically call it West Texas. I don't know why. I think it's personally in North Texas, but technically they call this West Texas. You know, it's land so flat you can watch your dog run away for 2 weeks. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
And I'm in a small town about an hour away from LA up in the high desert where I was born many thousands of years ago. The thing is, it snowed here. I've lived in Southern California most of my life, and in this part of the world, I was born here and came back here recently. It's never snowed here. You know, we had an inch of snow on the ground for a whole day, and the ski resorts not far from here are still under 6 feet of snow, and people can't get out for a week, and they're still trying to get to them.
Wow. I did not know that. I knew about your snow. I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, it's actually pretty bad. It's crazy. And then you tell me it's 80 degrees and lovely where you are?
It is. It is beautiful outside.
Yeah, it's insane. Makes no sense at all. But thank God climate change is just fake news, because otherwise we'd be in real trouble. That was close. Anyway, it is great to be doing this with you, Shay. I love you to death, and it's about time we should get this thing started.
Okay.
You know, the Zombie Gift Guide is the best, maybe the only place online that you can get anything to do with zombies. Yeah, sure, the movies and the books, like the Blu-ray edition of Night of the Living Dead. But beyond that, literally hundreds of other zombie-related stuff, all at zombiegiftguide.com. We're talking costumes, props, masks, board games, t-shirts, posters, and amazing items I guarantee you've never heard of before, but you have to have. So how do you get all this amazing stuff? That's easy. It's just a click away 24/7 at zombiegiftguide.com. One word crammed together, zombiegiftguide.com. Go take a look. You'll find it has every damned thing about zombies, literally. And thanks again to zombiegiftguide.com for sponsoring this edition of Zombie World. Okay, so we're back, and I'm figuring what we're going to do pretty much every week is have one big conversation about something, some of the major things in zombie world that everybody knows about or everybody should know about, and try to take a different look than you've heard a million times on things. We're going to be talking in the next few weeks about movies like 28 Days Later and The Walking Dead and World War Z, and also lots of things you probably haven't heard of, but should. and lots of other stuff in between. And this week, since this is the first one, I figured we'd probably start with where it all began, which was Night of the Living Dead, the 1968 beauty from George A. Romero that we all know so well.
I really liked The Night of the Living Dead. I mean, you had me watch it. You recommended it. And
I forced you to.
Yes. I mean, well, I mean, there is a little bit of an age gap between the two of us. And
what?
You know, I did.
Because there's almost no one left alive that's my age. That's just way too old. Way too old. Look this way. I was 14 years old when Night of the Living Dead came out in 1968.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going to the Golden State Theater in Riverside, California, when you could go into an air-conditioned room, which was an amazing thing in 1968, and saw Night of the Living Dead in an actual movie theater about four times for $2. It was $2 for the double feature. And I've seen it maybe 1,000 times since then. I keep saying 1,000 this week. I've seen it many, many times. But it was weird to go back and really pay attention to it again, as we did for this thing, because it's probably been a few years since I really just sat down and watched it. How long ago did you see it? What was the first time you actually saw it?
You recommended it, I think like 4 months ago, but I did like it. I didn't realize that they had made a zombie movie back when they made black and white movies, but I thought it was very well done. And at the end, when the man was ascending the stairs, I was like, no, don't. You've survived this long. You know something's going to happen to you.
Don't do that.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do a fairly quick recap of the actual movie because I think, well, a couple of things. A lot of the basic rules we have about what zombies are came out of this one movie. Not all of them, but many that we still adhere to today started here and did not exist prior to this. The other weird thing is that the word zombie isn't even used in this movie.
Really? I didn't notice that.
No, it's weird. Zombie came up a few years later and has become the term that we all use, but in fact, they're called ghouls or flesh eaters in this movie. Zombie didn't exist as a term prior to 1968.
Huh.
Well, it did. There were movies like I Walked with a Zombie and White Zombie, but those were about voodoo. Those were about a witch or a priest controlling one dead guy, bringing him back as a zuvembi or as a zombie, but not what we think of today as the staggering, shambling, or super fast cannibal weirdos. That whole concept starts right here with George A. Romero in 1968. And the black and white thing, you know, this was 68. Almost all movies and TV shows were in color at this point. The only reason this one wasn't is because George didn't have the money to pay for color processing. It was a black and white movie out of pure necessity. In fact, it's interesting. This thing was made for about $115,000 back in 68. Which would be under $1 million in current money, right around $1 million.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
He had $60,000 in the bank when he started shooting it. He was still looking for people to invest. No money. No idea if this was ever even going to get finished. Ultimately, it has grossed more than $30 million, or about $250 million by current standards. So that's like 250 times its budget over the years. And it did. It set up everything that this whole huge industry that we're talking about now, books, movies, TVs, costumes, everything started here. All the other standard horror things we think about, vampires, mummies, werewolves, those all come from either all the way back to Victorian times, all the way up to the Universal monster movies of the 1930s. But zombies are 1968, plunk down the date. One of the weirdest years of my lifetime and in American history of the last 30 years. And that's where we start.
Well, Brad, why don't you tell us about the movie?
We're not going to do a full-on scene-by-scene recap, but there is some interesting stuff here in telling the story. So everybody remembers the very beginning of this movie. You've got Barbara and Johnny, brother and sister, driving into a cemetery. It is, by the way, in rural Pennsylvania, and they're going to visit their father's grave.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it. You're acting like a child.
They're coming for you.
As they've done that and they're leaving, this weird kind of gray-faced, stumbling guys in a ripped suit comes staggering up and actually kills Johnny and attacks Barbara.
Mom!
Now, Here's one of the side deals. The guy who played that first zombie ever, he didn't really know how a zombie should move. Nobody knew at that point. He just kind of made it up. Romero's talked a little bit about, think about how Frankenstein moved, and that's kind of the sort of the way he goes. That didn't really work for the guy. They had to move slowly, but they also had to be strong enough to break windows and doors and stuff, because we're going to see him do that later. So when William Hinzman said, "I don't know how to do this," Romero's classic direction to him was, "Do it anyway." So he did, and thus was born the modern shambling zombie. So anyway, Barbara flees.
And I got so afraid. I ran.
She sees a farmhouse in the distance, runs to it. She finds a woman inside there who's already dead and half eaten. So she was one of the first victims. And then a whole bunch of these strange creatures, these ghouls, led by the guy they saw in the cemetery, start coming towards the house. She manages to close the door on them, but she's a mess. She's almost catatonic. She's mumbling. She's completely out of it.
Yeah, it drove me crazy how she just froze. She wasn't really helping him at first. And I'm like, dingbat, get up and do something.
Yeah. That's a lot of people have understandable problems with that. And in the original script, she was going to be more aggressive from the very beginning, more assertive. But she did such a good job at being completely clueless that Romero decided to let that ride for a while. It isn't until Ben arrives. Ben is the African-American actor who played the main role here, who's also running away from a different set of flesh eaters, comes in, gets inside, starts closing things up, boarding windows.
I'll put a few spots upstairs. They won't be hard to fix.
And he drives all the ghouls away because he has found a lever-action rifle. And this is where we get the first few kind of enduring rules about zombies. One, that they're nearly mindless. They can't speak, but they're attracted to the living because they want to eat them. And also that they're afraid of fire. All these things apply to your classic zombie today. That's your classic Romero zombie. So that out of the basement of this house come two guys, Harry and Tom. Now, interestingly, Harry, the bald guy, the older guy, who's the father of the family in the basement, is a guy named Carl Hardman. He was actually a co-producer of the movie, had put money into it. He was also the makeup artist, the sound effects guy, and he took a lot of the still photos that they used in the closing credits. So we find out that he's in the basement with his wife, Helen, and their little girl, Karen, unfortunate name in the modern world. And they all ran in and took refuge in this house when more of the flesh eaters out there turned their car over and bit Karen on the arm, and they ran to the basement.
They can't get in here.
And I'm telling you, those things turned over our car.
Now, Tom, meanwhile, the younger, handsome guy, is there with his girlfriend, Judy. They came sometime after the Coopers did, but before Barbara and Ben showed up. But they've all been hiding in the basement, listening to the emergency broadcast system, hearing all about the killings around, not around the world. In the original movie, it seems pretty regional. They haven't heard much of anything outside of Pennsylvania and not even the big towns.
Medical authorities in Cumberland have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating the flesh of the people they murder. Repeating this latest bulletin just received moments ago from Cumberland, Maryland, civil defense authorities have told newsmen that murder victims show evidence of having been partially devoured by their murderers.
So we don't really know if this is a worldwide effect or if it's just something local. And in fact, they never really describe why this happened at all. Is it supernatural? Is it scientific? There's a couple lines about how a probe from Venus had come back to Earth recently, and some folks thought it was radiation from that, but it's never really worked out. We really don't know, which I thought was kind of cool. There's no origin for zombies. So anyway, Tom, the young, good-looking guy, is kind of a stand-up dude. He's pretty good. He helps Ben secure the farmhouse, even while Harry is bitching and moaning about how is it safe up there. He wants to go back to the cellar. He's just an awful guy.
Maybe 100 of those things. And as soon as they know we're here, this place is going to be crawling with them.
Meanwhile, outside, the ghouls are still coming. They're hearing reports on the radio about mass murders all over the East Coast of the United States, it seems. And people are patrolling the countryside and trying to kill the ghouls. And in this process, we get a lot more of the basic rules of Zombieland, right? That they eat human flesh and apparently nothing else. They can only be stopped with a bullet or a heavy blow to the head or by being burned, which is why they're afraid of fire, as Ben had already discovered.
Beat them or burn them, they go up pretty easy.
And that there are rescue centers being set up all around the area. Anyway, Ben meets the family down in the basement. He sees the little girl, Karen, is in a bad way because of her bite. He wants to go get medical supplies for her, get her to a rescue center.
Yeah, and nobody even is thinking about the fact that, or nobody knows the fact that really they just need to kill her because, well, she's turned. I mean, there's no way to fix that. She's just going to eat everybody, so.
Yeah, at this point, again, in the beginning of Zombieland, no one knew that the bite was what would turn you, which is an interesting idea. The idea that the bite causes you to turn into a zombie isn't necessarily established in Night of the Living Dead. That's a later virus kind of approach. Here, it's that if you die, you're going to come back as a zombie. Just dying by any means, you're going to come back as a zombie. So, yeah, she got bitten. She's in bad shape. Maybe it made her sick. Maybe it was a worse injury than we realized. Either way, once she's dead, we're in trouble. And you're right, there's no coming back. There's no cure for it. So might as well have just thrown her in the fire and moved on. But people have a tendency not to throw children into fire unless they really deserve it. So,
true.
Anyway.
Yeah, that might have tanked the movie. It makes sense.
And there's a truck outside, and they can use that to get away, they think.
And there's a key on here that's labeled for the gas pump out back.
But unfortunately, Tom tells him it's out of gas. So it is parked right next to a gas pump, just an old-fashioned rural crank deal there. And all they have to do is somehow get out there, fill the damn thing up, and then they can get away. So anyway, after much conversation, Ben and Tom and Judy, his girlfriend, all leave the house together, run out, run over to the gas pump. They're going to fill it full there. So they're holding off the ghouls with torches and swinging around. And one of them's trying to fill the gas tank at the same time. They've got Molotov cocktails. They're just really going at it. Unfortunately, things are kind of chaotic. Things are crazy. And gas spills out of the pump, hits the fire, blows up the truck and the pump, and kills Tom and Judy. Nice guys, but they didn't make it far. So Ben's the only one that gets away from the explosion and runs back to the house. And for a while, Harry won't let him in the house because there are zombies all around now. And he's like scared to death. Ben finally gets in anyway and then beats Harry for all up and down one side and then the other for not letting him in because he's a damn coward. Which in itself establishes another basic rule of zombie literature. Humans are generally just as dangerous as the zombies are. That actually became one of the classic lines from early Walking Dead. Anyway, they're back inside. They're trying to barricade the house, but ultimately the zombies do get in, and then things really get crazy. Harry gets shot dead by Ben with the rifle. And not long after that, little Karen dies from her injuries, but almost immediately reanimates and starts to eat her father's remains. Then when her mother tries to intervene, the little girl stabs her with a masonry tool, which is one of the zombie things that didn't continue. This is one of the few times you see a zombie use a tool. They're smart enough to do that. That kind of faded. After this, we never, ever see zombies use tools or weapons. They just eat.
She's a sweet little thing.
Yeah, she's sweet. But also, all that horror finally shocks Barbara out of her stupor or whatever it is. And she finally starts to help Ben try to keep the ghouls out, but it's way too late. In her last act of near heroism is useless. She's dragged away by, of all people, her reanimated brother Johnny and other ghouls, and she's taken out, and that's the last we see of Barbara, because indeed, they're coming to get her.
Perfect line. They're coming to get you.
It takes them about an hour and 15 minutes, but they do. So finally, the horde breaks into the house. It's all done. Ben's all by himself now. He's, I guess, I would say he's the final girl, but he's like the final man. And he finally runs back down into the cellar where he finds both Harry and Helen are now reanimating because they're both dead. So he has to kill them a second time. And then he's exhausted and time passes. The night ends. Morning comes. We see signs of good old boy posses outside plinking off the last of the remaining ghouls.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
The implication is that the tide has kind of turned and humans have taken control again, that they figured it out. In any event, the gunfire wakes up Ben, who comes out of the cellar thinking he's saved. And of course, shot dead by the posse. The movie actually ends with his body being thrown into the bonfire with the rest of the flesh eaters.
Okay, he's dead. Let's go get him. That's another one for the fire.
And that actually establishes the very last rule of zombie literature, movies, books, and the rest, is that, you know, in slasher movies or horror movies, haunted house movies, there's usually a happy ending, right? Somebody escapes, the final girl or people get out, it ends. There's always the, or is it, kind of twist at the end. But in fact, people survive. Generally speaking, in zombie movies, everybody dies. They're not happy endings. Sometimes you even get unhappy endings tacked on to the end when you think somebody got away and at the last minute they get bit or were in fact bit. So it was a sad time. There's also some interesting stuff I'll talk about in a minute having to do with the kind of message being sent about Ben being the only black guy in sight and how movement of him. Was he killed because he was a black guy and they didn't trust him, or just because they thought he was a zombie? Very unclear in the way the thing is shot and edited. But that's the movie. So much of what we've seen over and over and over again for two generations, three generations now, all started right there with Night of the Living Dead. So what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I really did. I mean, it kept me engaged. I wanted to see what was going to happen next. I thought the cast of characters was amazing. Yeah, the one guy was an asshole. The other girl was a dingbat. And yeah, it just, I mean, it definitely made you have people that you wanted to root for and other people that you just wanted the zombies to just kill them. So it was good.
I have some weird side stories here too. Like when you see the zombies eating the bodies in that burnt out truck, all those long scenes of them tearing at the flesh and all that, that's actually roasted ham covered with chocolate sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And actually, filmmakers thought it was funny because apparently it tasted so horrible that they didn't really have to waste too much time putting makeup on these guys. It was making them look sick anyway. Because it was just awful stuff. And originally, Ben, the character, was not cast as a black man. He was supposed to be a big, crude, like a truck driver that was not specific to any race. But then this actor, Dwayne Jones, who was actually a fairly serious academic guy, showed up, auditioned. Romero liked him so much that he gave him the part. And then Jones himself said that he was concerned that the character was a little too angry. And particularly, there's a scene in here where he slaps Barbara. And he was very concerned about that scene because a black guy hitting a white woman, that was going to be the wrong kind of message. It would divert people from what the movie was really about. And again, right in the middle of the civil rights movement in 68, and by horrible coincidence, just a few weeks after this movie was released, Dr. King was killed. Years later, Romero actually had said in interviews that he wished he'd paid more attention to Dwayne back then and maybe done things differently. He also said, rather sadly, he wished he could speak with Jones one more time. Dwayne Jones did not last in the middle age. He died just a few years later without any really big other great movie. This was his big movie, which, considering it was a low-budget movie no one expected, not fair. But the racial element was never originally supposed to be in there, but boy, has it come back any number of times since then.
She did deserve to be slapped. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. And it was dramatically the right thing to do, but culturally it was a pretty big weird thing to do at the time. So this dead world, there have only other been two other movies set in Romero's world here. There's a lot of legal stuff around the movie we won't go into, but it took a long time to get it all sorted out. It was fully 10 years later in 78 that the sequel, or really kind of a side story, Dawn of the Dead, came out. And then it was another 7 years past that, in 1985, that we saw Day of the Dead. So it took 20 years from first movie to last. And yes, there's the Living Dead movies over here, and there's zombie movies unrelated to others out there. But actually, we're in the same world following the same rules. Only those three movies always end with the dead. And then two other just weird things. One is there was a musical, a stage musical, based on Night of the Living Dead that came out in 2019. It actually ran off Broadway for months. And it's actually been produced nationally all over the place. And I have a little clip here from it that I'm going to play.
Oh, okay.
The night.
Did they have ham and chocolate sauce? I have been thinking about putting on a ham this week. And I don't know, Connor and I might have to actually try that. Just like take a slice of it and try it. That does sound pretty nasty, though.
That just sounds pretty awful. The chocolate sauce. Golly heck. But anyway, that's Night of the Living Dead. That's our first big conversation about stuff. Love to hear what other people think of it, whether they think it holds up as well as we think. And next time around, we'll be talking about another classic or something that deserves to be a classic. And on we go. Okay, so come on, let's go down this way.
Oh, okay. This is really creepy. What are we doing here, Brad?
Don't worry. There's a good reason for this. Let's just...
What is that? Do you see those things? What is that? Are they moving?
No, don't worry about it. It's here, let's go through these big doors. Wait. I just wanted to welcome you to...
The Hall of the Living Dead.
Well, here we are, Mall of the Living Dead. Shay, I know, just gotten back from the mall with some items you really think people are going to like. So, what's up?
Oh, yeah, I did. In fact, I have a bag here, and let me see. I'm going to pull the first thing out. Okay, so I did tell you a little bit about this one. It's the t-shirt, the one that has the blood spatter on the side.
Oh, yeah.
And it reads, "I'm fine," on the front of it. But the thing is, the blood looks real.
There's a huge patch of it on the side. It says, "I'm fine," on the top. Like all good zombie victims have always said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I didn't get bit." And then there's this huge chunk taken out of the guy's like side. And it's a huge blood stain. And yes, it's very realistic.
It is. Like we've had three different incidents with it. So my youngest son, Connor, he is in college. He's working on becoming a saturation diver. And even before he wore it at the school, we had taken pictures of him that, you know, we have up on the website even. And relatives and friends of mine, when I shared it on my personal Facebook page, they actually asked me if he was okay. They thought something had happened to him.
A dog had bitten him or something.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, then, of course, he goes into the lab for his welding. Well, they have to wear all kinds of protective gear in there. And anyway, he was near the saw area and he started taking his gear off. He was hot and he had that shirt underneath and people just froze and they thought that he had actually gotten hurt. And one guy said, "Damn, dude, go to the hospital." But they actually thought that. And I mean, it freaked everybody out. And then he went to the student center later because he had to go get a student ID. He's a new college kid. The same thing. They thought something had happened to him. And I mean, it does. It looks so real. I'm going to have to get one for myself just to, you know, go out in public and scare the crap out of people. But he loves wearing that shirt because he knows what it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, especially when he was in there with the table saws and taking all his protective gear off. That looked bad, but...
Well, we should say, too, that all of these items, you can go to the website for the show, the zombieworld.net, and see pictures of them. And you can also click through then to our sponsor, to Zombie Gift Guide, where you'll be able to buy these things if you want them yourself. But regardless, they're very cool items. So that's number one. What else you got?
Okay. Well, I had mentioned it earlier. The first thing that I got when it came to the zombie thing, we all know I have a crush on Negan. Well, we don't all know. Now we all know I have a crush on Negan.
We all know.
Yeah. Now we all know. You knew.
Yeah. God, did I know. You never stop talking about the damn guy. I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, great actor, attractive guy, but come on. He's a psychopathic killer that beats people with a barbed wire baseball bat. And you think he's cool.
Yeah, apparently I'm attracted to that. Yeah, I just love some psychopath there. It's a pillow and it has like, you know, different things that he said about Lucille and it's got him holding Lucille. And I love my pillow. I sleep with it on my bed, y'all. I know that's kind of corny, but.
Well, we should say that there are literally thousands of products out there around Walking Dead. I mean, just more than you could imagine. This one's one of the cooler ones. It's got little quotes around it of Negan himself and a good picture of him. And if you know anybody who's a big Walking Dead fan, this is what I'd get for him. Fits in any house, any decor. Who doesn't need a grinning sociopath on your couch?
Yeah.
It's not a full body pillow, though I know you would love one of those. This is just his undeniable portrait. So what else? You love your third thing? I'm sorry.
Let's see. What else do I have in here? Oh, yeah. I have Zombieopoly.
Oh, the board game. Right. That's right.
Yes, they've made it with zombies, and it's completely different than, you know, you're just buying hotels or buying houses or whatever. I mean, it's actually got a real zombie theme, and it looks fun. I haven't played it yet, but sometime when everybody's over, we're going to play that for sure.
Yeah, you have to let me know if it actually plays well. It looks great. It's very funny just to look at it because, you know, all of the streets of the Monopoly board are now zombie themed, and the little items that rather than the shoe and the racing car, they've got all these other weird little items that are much more appropriate for zombieing. All in all, it was a pretty funny bit, a great gag gift in general, but who knows? It might even be a good thing to actually play. We'll see.
It looks fun. It really does. When you like read about what different things you do, it looks fun. I mean, especially for someone that's a big zombie fan. Oh, the other one I'm going to mention, I know we're supposed to just do.
Oh, you can do as many as you want.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
Once you get started, I can't stop you.
No. You said I'm an expert shopper, and I'm an expert shopper.
You are indeed.
My youngest son, Connor, the welder one, mm-hmm. We got him a hoodie. And I mean, it is actually a really well-constructed hoodie. It's quality. Mm-hmm. And it reads, "Zombies eat brains. Don't worry, you're safe."
Yes, my daughter would probably love one of those as well. She's the sarcastic one in the family. I, of course, am entirely serious, but she has a terrible sense of humor, and she would love that. So I'll have to see about getting one of those for her.
Oh, yeah, she would love it. It's cute. It's got the good pockets in front. It's a nice, thick hoodie. It's not, you know, something cheap.
And here again, you can see a picture of it on the site and get a chance to get it if you want.
Absolutely.
I think the zombies getting a little restless outside the mall here, so we're probably going to have to close up for the day. But that's very cool stuff, and you'll have more to talk about next week, which will be very cool.
Yes, I will.
Meetings are getting a little restless. I think it's time for us to get the hell out of here for this week. Now, come on.
Yeah, okay.
No, come on, faster.
Everything we've talked about in this episode of Zombie World, in the Mall of the Living Dead, or throughout the rest of the episode, you can find at zombiegiftguide.com. We have hundreds of items. We've got apparel, those t-shirts, we've got mugs, we have home decor, books, movies, gag gifts. Even for your home bakers, there are things you can do to make a zombie party for kids or adults. We've got things that you can make some great zombie treats, zombie cake, a little bit of everything, y'all. Don't miss out. Go to Zombie Gift Guide and find all of your zombie needs today.
Well, that's it for our very first episode. That was a lot of fun. We should do this every week.
We should.
And here at the back end, one of the things I'd like to start doing is asking a question of the week that folks can tell us about. And they can correspond with us on any of our social media. We'll talk about that in a minute. Or just go to zombieworld.net and there's a place there to leave messages any old time you want. But there's lots of different ways to get to us. Or our email address, which is brad@zombieworld.net or Shay, S-H-A, @zombieworld.net. Either one of those will get you an email to us as well. But I was figuring the first question, and we'll talk about this a lot as time goes on, is that you got your slow zombies, the ones we just talked about, the George Romero classics. And then you've got fast zombies, like the ones we saw in 28 Days Later, and then even worse when you get down to World War Z. But people tend to like one kind or are more scared by one kind or the other, either slow or fast zombies. So I guess my first question would be, which do you prefer? Which movies do you like the most? Which ones scare you the most? What's better? Fast zombies or slow zombies? So that'll be our first question of the week here. And other than that, there's lots of different ways you can get hold of us. We have a weekly newsletter that actually has more about newsy stuff, what's been going on about new releases or re-releases or shows that are coming back or premiering, all that stuff, as well as some recaps of what we just did. That newsletter comes out every Sunday, and all you have to do to get it, because it's free, is go to zombieworld.net and sign up for it. And we'll send it to you free of charge forever. And it will not just be hyping a lot of things to buy. This is just for fun to let you know what's going on.
Also, our Linktree.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all can find us on Linktree/Zombie World.
And that's LINK dot No, just tell me how, because Linktree is weird. It's got a period in the middle of it.
It does. It's linktr.ee/zombieworld. So the dot is right between the TR and the EE, right between the tree.
Right. But then inside that, you're going to find links to our place on Instagram and on Twitter and on Facebook and the website itself and Zombie Gift Guide, our sponsor, and all that stuff.
Everywhere.
We don't have to list all that stuff here for you. Just go to linktree/zombieworld and you'll see all those different things that you can do at once. So that'll be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And of course, we should have special thanks to zombiegiftguide.com for sponsoring this damn thing every week. And then, of course, the old podcast mantra here, like and subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're grabbing your podcast. And it'd be great if you would leave a nice review there. Tell your friends how totally cool we are and come join the patty because we're going to be here every week.
There you go.
And please leave us a message anywhere you like, anytime you like. We really want to hear from you.
We will do our best to respond to everything you send us, really.
So until next week, I'm Brad.
And I'm Shay.
And don't get bit.